was a liar just like that old publican. He knew I'd taken more than I could ever repay. But you know what? The Lord let me know that He was a forgiving God. And I'm glad that Jesus is still passing by. He's not stopped. And I'm glad it's that way. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you'd like to turn with us to a short scripture lesson. Somebody's been praying this morning. The song selection there at the end with "I was glad when He saved my soul," and "Since Jesus passed by," just go right hand in hand with what the Lord would have for us to try to preach this morning. And I want you to pray for me. Lost or saved, if you're lost, I want you to consider something this morning. I want you to consider where you stand with the Lord. And if you're saved, I want you to be thankful that you have been saved. If you're not thankful, you need to check it out, because I'm thankful for what God has done for me. I've got something this morning. If you've been saved, you have something. If you have your Bibles, Luke in the 21st chapter, the Gospel of Luke in the 21st chapter. And I'll start our reading lesson this morning in the 8th verse. Luke 21 and 8. And I want you to realize this morning that, again, the reading lesson may seem harsh and it may seem like I'm doom and gloom, but I'm not. I've told you all, you all have heard it preached. I'm not going to present anything new to you, but I do want you to understand a concept that the Lord is coming back. Time will end one way or another. You will either die or the Lord will return. But the Scriptures are very plain, and the Lord Himself, Jesus, was very plain that He would come back. And He would require something out of us. He would require that something happens to us. He requires that there be something applied to us so that He knows that we are His. I preached to you a few weeks ago, actually, I guess last Sunday, about the identity crisis and how we identify ourselves. A few Sundays before that, I preached about the covenant, about the rainbow, and how God lets us know that He is still with us. And maybe this is a mashup of both of those, but I want you to realize this morning, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you have a testimony. You have something that you can tell others about. I hear this all the time, and I promise you I'm not downplaying these types of talks and these things at any stretch of the imagination. I believe that they are important so that people can understand how God works in people's lives. But I hear people talk about, and I've asked people for their testimony, and they want to tell me about a time when God healed them from something. Well, that's all good and well, and I'm glad that God has. When I ask for a testimony or something that lets me know that you've been saved by the grace of God, God can heal you from every disease that there ever has been. But if you've not been saved by the grace of God, you don't have the thing that will cover you for all eternity. And that's a testimony of nature to grace. There's something that happens. If I in law and in testimonies and different things, when you come before a court, you tell somebody what you know, what you've seen happen, what you have known to have happened. The evidence is laid out for you. And I'm going to say this morning, some testimony is good and some's not. Some you want, some you don't. But I'm going to tell you this morning, if God has saved you, it is something that you can tell others about. Amen. It's not something that you have to wonder about. It is something that happened between you and God. And if you know that there has been that time and that place where God has saved your soul, you need to tell others about it. Amen. You need to let people know that you have been saved. I want to read these scripture lessons this morning. It says, "And He said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then He said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake.
and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And I want to take the 13th verse as a lesson text this morning, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. It says that, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And we think of hated and we think, man, that's pretty rough. But you know what the Bible says? Jesus said, remember that they hated me first, so think it well if they hate you as well. Think it okay if you follow me and they hate you for that. So I want to go ahead and dispel that one right off the bat. Being hated by the world is not necessarily something that we want, but it's also something that God said would happen if you are His child and you identify with His children and His church. God said that it would happen. Therefore, we know that it's coming so that when it happens, we're able to stand against it and understand that God already knew that somewhere down the line that people would hate His church, hate His people, and hate the things that they would do. And it talks about here, and I believe He's talking about getting down to the end of time. I have heard all of my life people say, well, the seasons will turn against seasons and you won't be able to tell when the seasons begin and the seasons end and then time will end. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think the Scriptures necessarily teach that. People have said that it's in there, but well, you start looking and that is not how the Bible records it. But I want you to know something this morning. When life is over, and I guess maybe this thought really sprung out of a song that I sang here on Wednesday night to lead or start the service, and it was, what will I leave behind? You know, and I told them Wednesday night, I said, we leave behind a lot of things. When a person goes to die, or before they die, they will write up a last will and testament. They'll write up something so that when they have passed, people can know how they want their possessions passed on. They do this so that the person, while their voice has been silenced, they have a voice to say, this is how I want my things to be let go. I want you to understand this morning that every one of us that has a living, breathing soul in us, and that gangs everybody in here, every single one of us is going to leave behind something. You will either leave behind possessions that you've worked all of your life for, that really, in the grand scheme of things, don't matter to anybody but you. You can gain the whole world. And you know, people are gaining the whole world. I look around and people are getting more money and more money and more wealth and more fame, and they can't contain it all. And you know, I thought about old Prince when he passed away a few weeks ago. You know, Prince, I guess, was a well-known person. I never listened to his music. It didn't really just tickle my fancy. I'm going to use that word this morning. It just wasn't something I enjoyed. But people everywhere were upset that Prince had passed away. Why, that's all we heard on the television for days is how this man had passed. But you want to know what the commonalities between him and me are? I will never be a rock star. Not happening. I will never sing the songs that he has. I will never have the fame or the money or the wealth that he had. I'll never amass that amount of stuff. But someday I'm going to die. That's common for all man. It's something that happens for every person that has ever lived. Good, big, bad, small, however you want to place it. Everybody must face that. But what will you leave behind? What will your testimony to the world be? I want to get into this for just a moment. And I've got a few places that I want to read other than this. But it says, and talks about the things that will come to pass. And it says, but before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. What he was talking about was, and if we're going to read over in just a few moments,
talking about putting their hands on them, a lot of times that meant taking them and casting them in jail. What would happen to people that served God and let other people know that they served God? They were taken, and you know the Roman government really didn't like people who stood behind this man named Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with him. They didn't want to hear about what he'd done, how he'd done it, when he'd done it. And the people that it happened to, they really tried to get behind them. So it says, but before all of the end of time, but before the end shall come, before this happens, those that have a testimony will be persecuted. And you say, preacher, this is going downhill really quickly. You say having a testimony is a good thing. But in the same breath, you say we're going to be persecuted. I want you to know something this morning. For those of us that have been saved, we're not in bad company. Those that have been saved by the grace of God down through the ages of time, they've all withstood persecution for what that they have stood for. They've been persecuted for standing for the church. Been persecuted for standing for the true plan of salvation. They've been persecuted for this. They've been persecuted for that. And brothers and sisters, I don't know how time will go. I don't know how things will go on in years to come, but I do know this. Every one of us that has been saved by the grace of God, our testimony is not going away. But I will say this. I remember I was going down the road this morning and I thought of this. I thought about being ashamed of God. And the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And I thought about one day, I remember I was in high school. And we were talking about something, and we actually had to bring our Bibles for a class or something of that nature. And you know, people were walking around school, and they had their Bibles in their hands. I guess it was a class we were taking, and you know, they had their Bibles in their hands, and you know what I did with my Bible? I shoved it in my backpack. I didn't want anybody to see it. I didn't want them to say, well, look at him, he's carrying his Bible around with him. I might have taken some persecution for that. But that could have been a testimony to someone that says he has a faith in God. He has a reason that he's serving this God. He has a Bible. You know, you think about today, just the people who don't own Bibles. A whole lot of people that don't even have the Word of God. But this is a testimony to people. The Word of God is a testimony. The things that are left behind, there's a whole lot of last will and testaments that have been left in this old book for us to uncover and have. Thought about one of Jesus' last will and his testaments. He said, for I came to save them that were lost. I came not to call the righteous unto salvation, but I came to save that which was lost. One of the last things that he told them is that I want everybody to be saved. He wanted the world to know about him. Thought about some other last will and testaments in the Bible. You remember a man named Stephen? While he was there, and Stephen was a deacon in the church, and I'll just turn over there and read just a little bit of it. You want to talk about a testimony of a man who knew that his time was coming to an end, but he still stood firm on what God had done for him. And I have a reason for all of this, if God will allow it to all come together in the way that He'd have for it to. 51st verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. 51st verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. Says, this is Stephen talking. And you think about what old Stephen told this group of people. It wasn't something that they wanted to hear. I believe that Saul, who would later become Paul, was one of those that was persecuting old Stephen. He was one that at this point hated the church. But at some point he would get saved on the road to Damascus. And you want to talk about a testimony, you turn over there and read Paul's journey from nature to grace. You talk about a testimony. The Lord spoke to old Paul, and that testimony's been told down to the age of time. And I'm going to get to Paul if God will help us. Stephen said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which shewed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, have not kept it. And they began to stone all Stephen. Stephen began to testify to those people. He began to say, ye have rejected the Holy Ghost because your fathers did, and now you do it. Oh, man. And they didn't like that. Can you imagine if somebody walked in here this morning and said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised bunch of people," while we would take our psalm books and probably be about ready to whoop him up one side of this church and down the other. But he was a testimony to those people that said, "Ye have rejected God, you've rejected the Spirit, and now you must pay for it." And boy, they began to stone old Stephen. Well, I guess they gathered up every rock they had and they just began to just pitch them at him. But you know what? That didn't faze old Stephen. Why? Because Stephen had a testimony. He had something that even in his persecution, even in his last dying hour, he knew that God would be with him. I'm going to say something this morning. Our testimony is the best thing that we have. You might say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" If you have a testimony, and I'm talking about as an old-time missionary Baptist, we believe in a time and a place salvation. I don't believe in a baptismal regeneration. I don't believe you get baptized and that saves you. I don't believe in a work salvation. Nobody can live good enough to get to heaven. Not one of you is going to do it. The only one that was perfect was Jesus Christ, and He didn't have to be saved. So nobody else can come that way. But I'll say this, if God has saved you, there was a time and a place. And it may have not been in a church. I've heard some of your testimonies. Brother Coleman talks about getting saved at Center Point Schoolhouse. Brother Coleman tells about getting saved outside of Goodwill Church, out in front of an old car, I believe, where he got saved. Sister Jean talks about getting saved in New Macedonia. I've heard some of your testimonies and where you went from nature to grace. You've got a time and you've got a place. And I'm going to say, no matter what happens, no matter what persecution comes, it will stand. And God will stand with us because of that testimony. You think about what happened to old Stephen. Let's begin to read just a little bit more. It says, "But he," Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up and steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.'" Now you just imagine this. Now you just imagine in front of this church there's a man being stoned to death. Oh, and he's looking up. He's looking up, and I guess God just allowed Stephen to look up and see the glory that awaited him. Well, I guess Stephen was in the lowest point that he would ever be in. And you know what God granted him? He granted him grace. He gave him in his dying hour a realization that God was there. What testimony. You know, we live in a world today where people laugh at us and they say, "What you have is an emotional experience." Have you ever heard somebody say, "All you've got is emotions"? I'm going to say this morning, what I've got in my soul is more than an emotion. It is a salvation experience with the Most High God. And you know what happens sometimes when God begins to move? It begins to elicit some emotions that I otherwise would not have. Why is that? Because of God's love. You want to talk about some love? He told us, He said, "You will be persecuted for what you believe in. You will be beaten, mocked, stoned to death. But you want to know something? He said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" We talked a few Sundays ago about the security of the saints. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. Your testimony, that once you've told it, once you've got that time and that place, it is something that will last. And I'm so glad this morning that I don't have to wonder about it. You know, people today, they may say, "Well, you know, I don't know where I stand with the Lord." Can you imagine being in old Stephen's shoes? Well, you're going to be stoned to death and you're not sure where you stand with God. Could we stand with Him if you have not been saved? Well, you know, people that haven't been saved, people that have truly not been regenerated, truly been born again, there's no way that they could stand this type of persecution. If you came in here and you told me, "Preacher, we're going to have to stone you for what you believe in," my prayer is, I'm going to tell you, I'm probably a wimp. I'd probably be headed out one door while they were coming in the next. But I'm going to tell you this morning, my honest prayer to God is that He would allow me in my last hour, in my last moment, to be able to tell my testimony just one more time.
We look around us today and the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And you know, you've got people who will stand up in front of a congregation and they'll say, the only thing that will allow people to be saved is if they hear the preaching of the cross. I'm going to say this morning, I'm not going to downplay the preaching of the gospel. It must be preached. But our testimonies, they matter. Brothers and sisters, our testimonies, they matter to this world. They matter to the community around here. They matter to your family. Don't sit around and say, I can't tell them that. They won't listen to me. You tell your testimony. Even if it means that you are persecuted, you tell it to the world. In the Great Commission, He says, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. When is He going to leave us? He's not. You tell that testimony. My last will and testament to this world. Oh, and if they come and get me, if the funeral home comes and gets me and they drag me off to the funeral home and they go down to the lawyer's office and they begin to read that old last will and testament, you can have it all. Anybody here that wants it, you can have it. You just take it, sell it for the highest bidder, and by all means, it's yours. You can have the money. But guess what you can't have? And there's not a one of you that can get it. There's an old song that Sister Kathy Bailey from Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Arkansas sings, and it says, I've got something the world didn't give me, and they sure can't take it away. Oh, they didn't give it to me. This world doesn't understand a testimony from the Most High God. You think about that this morning. If it doesn't fill your heart with joy, why, you just pray and ask God to fill it with joy. But you think about having a testimony, an experience with somebody higher than you and I are. You think about that. Why, modernists, they'll come in here and say, you've got to accept Christ and having a personal relationship with the Lord. They don't understand a personal relationship with God. They don't understand what it's like to go to be a broken and a lost sinner. To be someone who is pouring their heart out to an almighty God in the blink of an eye. To be saved from hell. They don't understand it. And you want to know why we need to tell it? Because more and more, the world is going off into these things. Oh, they're going off into easy believism. Come down here, be baptized. Come down here, shake my hand. We talked about it Wednesday night. Brothers and sisters, we have a need in our nation to tell what God has done for us. God has been good to us. If He saved you from hell, He has been good to you. You say, Stephen, He wasn't very good to Stephen. Oh, yes, He was. Oh, yes, He was. You say He was stoned to death. But in His dying hour, God was there. What else? What else is there to die with? Well, I've seen people, they always say you can't take a U-Haul with you when you die. Another day I saw an old hearse. It was one that had been just probably hadn't been used in a long time. Had an old U-Haul hooked up to it, and I thought, well, I can't say that no more. But guess what? Not a thing you've got is going to go with you. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure if I were to die right now, they'd take me down there and they'd wrap me up in one of these dudes. They'd put me in a nice suit. And while they'd put me in one of them little casket deals, and people would come around and they'd say, well, you know, he's been pretty good, I guess. Well, I guess he's done a little bit. You know the best thing you could say about me? He was saved. Guess what? When you come around to look at my body, I'm not there. All the things that this whole world thought they had on me, all the things that this world thought that they could do to me, all the things that this world thought that would matter to me, they matter no more. You know what? Being saved by the grace of God, the things of this world, they matter less and less every day. But you want to know what matters more to me now than it ever has is what God did for me when I was a little boy. I was glad when He saved my soul because I gained heaven and I lost hell. What a testimony. If you've been saved, you've got the same thing. You may have not have gotten it in the same way I did, and I'm going to clarify. You had to repent of your sins. You had to call out on God. If you didn't do it, you didn't get it. There are inseparable graces, repentance, and faith. You can't jackhammer them apart. They've got to go together. When you repent with everything you've got and you are sorry for being a lost person and you want to know something, when you get down to being saved, when God saves a soul, you're sorry almost for even being born, because you realize that you are a sinner in need of something you can't provide yourself. Oh, in the moment that you repent to that point, I heard someone say the other day, and I may have said this a few Sundays ago, I'm going to say it again anyways. Someone once preached, and I heard him say that you had the faith to get saved on your own. My scriptures don't teach that. My scriptures teach that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So the moment that you repent that far, your faith takes you as far as you can go. And your faith can't get you all the way. It can't. How many of you here have ever seen God in the flesh? None of you. How many of you have ever seen me in the flesh? Raise your hand if you've seen me in the flesh. Everybody ought to be able to raise your hand. Raise your hand for me this morning. If you've seen me in the flesh, you can believe that I am real. But you start telling people about God and they say, well, I've never seen Him, so how do I know? And your faith only goes so far. I'm going to tell you, as a little boy, I thought, well, I believe in Him. You know, these people here at church, they wouldn't be telling me a lie, surely. But I could only go so far. And when I repented of everything that I had, God granted me the faith to believe the rest of the way. That's why repentance and faith, they are inseparable. For a person to come up here and to accept Christ, there's no repentance and there is no faith in that. You might have a little faith, but there's no repentance. So you've got to have both of them to be saved. The moment that I got saved, I went from being just as low and as lost as I could be to being a child of the King. That's a testimony. If that's not something that I can't tell you about, I don't know what is. I can't tell you about making surgery on somebody's brain because I've never done it and I don't know how to do it. I've heard those songs says, I can tell you the time and I can take you to the place. I can't tell you how, but I can take the place. I know how God saves a person. You say, preacher, that sounds pretty arrogant this morning. I'm going to tell you just exactly how He saves a person. He looks into their heart. He sees that they are lost. And when He realizes that they've repented and they've had that faith, He grants them the faith to get saved. And that's by His grace, an unmerited favor that you and I do not deserve. Amen. That's how God saves a person. People want to look at it and they want to see like a seal of approval on your chest. They want to see something outwardly. You know what that outward expression of them or change is? Baptism. Can't get the cart for the horse. Baptism is important. But baptism ain't never saved not one person. Never has, never will. Can't save you. But God can. I want to talk to you a little bit more about a testimony. And I'm going to try to close here in just a few moments of time. I don't want to worry your patience this morning, but I do have just a few more things that God would have for me just to try and impart to you for just a few moments of time. I want you to continue praying for us this morning. I know that God is here this morning. I believe that. I believe He's here every time the church doors are open. I come in here sometimes just by myself and I can feel the presence of God in this place. If you're here today and you're lost, if you're here today and you're saved, and boy, maybe you're salt, maybe you're just dried up. You ever been just dry? Just like an old rick of wood that ain't seen water in a long time, you could kick it and dust fly off of it. I feel like I get that way sometimes. You want to know what makes it flame back up? I heard a song this morning on the way down here. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. You know that little flame that God set up in there one night? When I pray to Him, you know, it gets dim sometimes. It looks like there's an eternal flame up in Washington, D.C., and that thing's always lit. That's about what mine's like. Sometimes it ain't much more than a dull little bit of flame. But you know, sometimes God comes by and He makes that thing roar up, and guess what? It's a roaring fire. Oh, and I love the way that that feels. But sometimes we as God's people, we just get just to a point where we are just dry and broken and hurting, and we think, well, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I'm not saved. You know, people have believed so strongly that they have done so many things that God has taken their salvation away. I preach to you and I believe that God will not do that. But He will take your joy away. You want to know one way that you can restore the joy of your salvation?
by telling your testimony. You say, "Preacher, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life." You want to know something? When you start to talk about what God has done for you, it makes you happy. Because the happiest thing, the best thing that ever happened to me wasn't the day that I bought my car. I love the car, but it wasn't the best day for me because I went into debt. It wasn't the best day for me. Best day that I had wasn't the day I graduated high school. It was a good day. I was ready to get out of there, but it wasn't the best day. The best day I had wasn't the day I was born. You say, "Preacher, in order to live, you've got to be born." Well, you know what? When you are born, there's a chance that you could not get saved before you leave this world. So therefore, it's not the best day to me. I've had good days all of my life, but the best day that I've ever had is when God saved my soul.
Amen.
Because that's something that will last through all eternity. It's not something that's going to go away. But I want to say this. When you start talking about what God has done for you, not only does it make you feel better, brothers and sisters, it makes everybody else feel better. And those that are lost, guess what? It'll make them think about what they stand in need of. I've heard people talk about it all my life. I was somewhere just a few weeks ago, and we began to talk about the Lord. I believe it was one of our last few days there at class. And we began to talk about different things about church. And it was just a few of us sitting there, and they began to talk about some of the things they'd done. And I said, "Well, the night I got saved," and I began to go into it, and some of them kind of looked at me like, "I've never heard anything like that before." You want to know what telling your testimony does? It makes the world stop, and it makes them think about where they stand. If I tell you that I have seen this car accident, if I'm testifying to that, and we've got somebody up here that's been a walk by and didn't see it, they heard maybe what happened, but they didn't see it, and they didn't know it for themselves, they can't tell you about it. But somebody that was there, and there's another old song, "I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know." There's people that say, "There's no way salvation can be real." "Well, I felt it, so I guess I ought to know. If anybody's going to know, I guess I ought to." I've got some friends and family. Boy, they like to test my faith on some of those things. They like to say, "Well, there's no way that you can feel it." And I want to be like, "Well, I know it because I've had it happen to me." Nobody can tell you about something unless they have, especially salvation, unless they have first experienced it themselves.
Amen.
First Peter, first chapter. I'm going to read these few verses. Beautiful scriptures. Third verse says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I hope a lot of things, but I have an earthly hope. I have an earthly hope. But I've got a lively hope that lives within me. My hope is not that I get there. My hope lies in the fact that I know that I am going there. I don't hope as in maybe. I hope as in that's where I know that I'm going. So everything else that happens, I'm looking forward to that day. In the knowledge that I'm going. That's my living hope. It is a hope that goes with us. It is a hope that will stand when you're being stoned by those that you've told your testimony to. It's a living hope. It's something, I told you, this world didn't give it to you, and they sure can't take it away. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Remember I said repentance and faith, they are inseparable. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. glory, receiving the end of your faith. Remember I said Jesus is the end of our faith. Receiving the end of your faith. And the end of our faith, well, there's an old song, Beulah Land. My faith will end in sight. My faith is going to end someday because I'm not going to need it anymore. Because I'll be with the one that has saved my soul. I don't have to have faith anymore because I will be there. I will make sure. I will know. Not that I don't know now. I know that 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 I've been saved. But there's a faith that's going to end in sight.
Amen.
It says, might, and I want to go back to the 7th verse. You may have asked, preacher, why did you start where you did? Why did you start talking about Jesus coming back? I know I preached about Noah maybe here. I can't remember if it was here or not. But there was something I taught a few weeks ago about old Noah. And you know, they had told Noah, God had told Noah, He said, you go build that ark and you testify to those people that if they don't get on it, they're not going to make it. So he did that. And I guess Noah probably thought, well, you know, if the rain comes, at least I'll have the boat. If it doesn't come, then really I haven't lost a whole bunch. And the moment that he saw that rain begin to fall, he knew that God had kept the end of His promise. I believe it was here. I was preaching about the rainbow. So I guess that was about the flood that Noah talked about. That rain, when it began to fall, he knew that he had put his faith just exactly where he needed to. I have heard people all of my life make this comment, and they have said, you know, if at the end of time, if we've done all of these things, and really all it is we just die and are like dogs and have nothing to live on, really we ain't wasted a whole lot. I'm going to say today, I don't like when people say that because it downplays Jesus, it downplays the whole Bible, it downplays everything that the church stands for. If you don't have enough faith to believe all of that, to know that at the end of life it's all over and that we're going to heaven, you may need to check your salvation because I don't live every day wondering about it. And people say that because people will make this argument. Well, if you live your life without God and in the last time when the Lord returns and you've not been saved, you've lost it all. And I understand that part of it. But it says that the trial of our faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Time is going to end. And you know, I don't know. You know, the Scripture says that nobody knows. It says it'll come like a thief in the night. It could come now. It could come 5,000 years from now. But I will say this. The moment that the trump of God begins to sound, time will cease to exist. And there will not be another opportunity for one person to get saved. The whole belief that when God comes back, you've got a time span to get saved is false and a lie straight from the devil. You better make it right now or there's no hope for you. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That means those that have confessed and been saved on this side of eternity, they're okay. But it says every knee shall bow. So there's going to be some that will try on that last day and say, Lord, give me one more opportunity. And He's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. You want to know why a testimony is so important? When the Lord comes back and I see Him coming in the sky, if it happens tonight, I'm going to look out the window and I'm going to say, here He comes to gather His children home. I can go up shouting because something has happened to me. I've got a testimony. If you die in your condition and the Lord comes back, guess what? You're going to be like, oh no, I have missed the opportunity. I have missed the chance. You're going to be upset. I'm going to be happy because I'm going to heaven. I'm heading out on the cloud. We're gone. And then hell will be those that are unsaved. It'll be their home for all eternity. Do you want to know why it's so important to teach the truth? You want to know why it's so important to teach the truth? Because as we continue on as people, as a race, as a world, the ratio of those that have been truly saved to those that have not are slowly getting out of proportion. Your testimony, it matters. Whether you want to believe it or not, you tell that testimony wherever you go, to whoever you meet. People say, well, I have got to be led by God. And you do need to be led by God. But you know what you don't have to be led by God to do? Is to share that story. Now, in order to talk to someone on a personal level, you need to have the leadership of God leading you to make sure that you're telling them the right things. But the Bible says to be ready to give an account of the hope that lives within you. Be ready at any moment. Somebody's watching you. Whether you realize it or not, somebody's watching you. You be a living testimony to those people. You live what the Bible says. You show them that you've been saved. Guess what? They're soon enough, they're going to ask, what's different about you? What makes you who you are? And you want to talk about a door being opened? Don't ask, Lord, is that a door being opened? You say, thank you, Lord, for giving me that opportunity. And you walk through that door and you tell them about your journey from nature to grace. And you tell them about Jesus saving your soul. And that's going to change some minds. People may not listen to you. I believe it was Jesus that said, cast not your pearls before swine. Some people won't listen to you if they don't shake the dust off and go on. But I'm going to tell you, more people want to hear your testimony than you think. I want to hear your testimonies. I love to hear people's salvation experiences. I love it. I want to know where you got saved at. You know, if you ain't heard it by now, I got saved on the front seat at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church, right in the middle of the bench. Right in the middle of it. With nobody else there to save me. Nobody else could save me. It was me and the Lord. That's where I got saved. So if you don't see me again, if I die before you ever see me again, you can say at Pleasant Hill, the preacher got saved. That's where it happened for me. Where did it happen for you? May God bless you. I'm going to close with that. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand, while we sing, if you're lost and undone without the Lord, you need a time and a place where God has saved you. You need this testimony. If you have been saved, and maybe your testimony, maybe your life is just not in a place where you can really tell others about it. Maybe it's not in a way that you think that other people are going to listen to you. You know what? You need to come to this altar and ask God to forgive you, not for salvation, but so that you might be able to share what God has done for you. Brothers and sisters, I've said this before and I'll say it again about the revival we've got coming up in August. We have a job to do before then. We need to be getting ourselves in shape so that when that revival week comes around, we're in the best physical, spiritual shape we can be in to serve God with everything we've got. Let's not wait until the last of July. Let's start right now and get in shape to serve God. We've got a Lord's Supper coming up, not next Sunday. We've got one coming up the following Sunday for members of Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Those that are here and members of this church, be here to celebrate that ordinance with us. Let us take it together. Let's do what God has asked us to do. Brothers and sisters, let us live our lives and our testimony so strongly that people around us will take notice of us. Not because of us, but because of God. May God bless you is our prayer while we stand and while we sing.